Okay, well, we're talking about election results. Up in Whatcom County, they had four elections for their county council, and they had a huge amount of money coming in from outside the county. And a lot of it was coming from environmental organizations. For instance, just one of them, Washington Conservation Voters, spent more than $250,000 on four Whatcom County Council races. There were other outside interests, including a billionaire liberal software exec out of San Jose area, Tom Steyer. Tom Steyer is his name, S-T-E-Y-E-R. Tom Steyer spent $400,000 trying to influence these races. You know what? They prevailed. Two liberal incumbents who are thought to be opposed to a coal terminal being built at Cherry Point came out the winner, and two challengers to two incumbents defeated them. Kathy Kirshner, who's the president or the chairwoman of the county council, lost her race 55-45. I believe Bill Knutson also lost his race by about 8 percentage points. He was an incumbent who's thought to be in favor of the terminal. So four races, they all went in the direction, two incumbents, two challengers, two people believed to be opposed to the coal terminal. I say believed to be opposed because for some reason, this gets very technical, the county council members are not supposed to advertise their position on this issue because they have to adopt what is called a judicial, quasi-judicial role in determining whether or not the coal terminal merits support. They're supposed to decide the issue on technical grounds. And because they are in that particular role, they had to stay mum on the issue. So they talked about other local issues. But believe me, the word got out as to where the candidates were leaning, and the money flowed in big time to the anti-coal terminal candidates, and they prevailed. Dan Jaffe is a UW researcher who coincidentally just released a report on whether or not rail shipments of coal would have an adverse effect on air quality one way or the other. And, gee, no surprise, comes down on the side that coal on rails would have a marginally adverse impact on air quality. Dr. Jaffe joins me now on KVI. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, John?
All right. Now, this is a very small study over a six-month period of time. You were assisted by four undergraduates from the UW-Bothell campus in UW-Seattle.
That's right.
And what did you guys study?
Well, we installed air quality sensors at a home up in the Blue Ridge neighborhood and also in the Columbia River Gorge, about 1 month up at the Blue Ridge neighborhood and about 2 weeks down in the gorge. And we are interested to see what are the impacts on air for people who live close to the tracks from sort of our existing trains. So before we can think about what the future holds, we have to be able to understand what's happening now. Probably the single biggest result was the high level of what we call diesel particulate matter. The trains are all running on diesel fuel, and sort of as each train goes by, you get a puff of diesel exhaust for people who live very close to the tracks. And surprisingly, the influence from that diesel exhaust in a place like Blue Ridge, where you're basically there's no other air pollution sources nearby, we found that the air quality at that home was comparable to one of the most industrial parts of Seattle, like in the Duwamish.
Now, why would that surprise you if you put your sensors right next to where you're going to get a puff of diesel smoke from trains? I mean,
I'll be honest.
If you live near train tracks, you're probably going to have to deal with the output of the trains that travel on the tracks, huh?
That's right. But I'll be honest, in a place where, like Seattle, where we get a lot of storms and wind and we think of our air as fairly clean, I was surprised to see that the air quality up in Blue Ridge was comparable to the most industrial parts of Seattle. So it was a surprise for me.
How far was your sensor from the tracks?
Probably 75 feet, something like that.
75 feet? Well,
yep.
Well, of course that's going to be the result.
There you go. I'm glad you should have helped me. We would have avoided a lot of work here if we didn't have to make guesses.
Well, no, I mean, common sense observation says that if you, let's say, live 75 feet from a highway, the air quality will probably be more adverse than it would if you live 400 feet from a highway.
Well, I don't disagree with that. What we have to do, though, is actually compare what these observations show with air quality standards. So, yeah, you're right. I don't disagree with anything you said.
Okay, so...
You have a question, though, for me.
Yes, of what use was your study?
What use is my study?
Yeah, I mean, you confirmed the perfectly obvious that anyone walking down a train track would know.
Well, for example, let me ask you a question then.
Okay.
We discovered that certain kinds of trains seem to emit larger amounts of diesel particulate matter than other trains. We looked at freight trains, coal trains, and passenger trains. Mm-hmm. We had a camera, and my students spent lots of hours going through videos to look at the... to classify every kind of train. One of the things, at least so far in the preliminary results, it seems to be holding up statistically, is one of those train types seem to have higher diesel emissions than others.
And why, is that because of the weight of the train or because of the type of engine? What do you attribute that to?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer because I don't know enough about how the railroads run their trains and their different, you know, how they maintain their locomotives. But interestingly enough, on a per gallon of fuel basis, the passenger trains seem to emit more diesel exhaust than the other types of trains. Now, that's on a per gallon basis.
Really?
So that's telling us about how well the locomotive is burning its fuel.
So you say you actually got... a higher concentration of diesel pollutant from the passenger train than from the coal train or the cargo train?
Not concentration,
okay.
But we call it an emission factor, which is grams of diesel per gallon of fuel. So thinking about it as like a mile per gallon type of number, where if you are burning your fuel poorly, your mileage will go down, and you'll be dumping more exhaust per gallon out your tailpipe.
So wouldn't that be an argument for fewer passenger trains and more coal trains? If my only standard were cutting down on pollution emissions.
No, because you miss one important thing. You have to know how many gallons of fuel each one burns.
Ah, okay.
Okay, but it does suggest that one type of locomotive is being maintained better, or that the type of locomotives that are used in one type of transport are perhaps newer than another. I don't know the answer, but it does suggest something about how efficiently they're burning their fuels. When we saw a freight train or a coal train coming by, typically those trains would have 3-4 locomotives. They would have locomotives in the front, and they might have one or two in the back, whereas the passenger trains only had one locomotive, and it zipped by. That said, that locomotive seemed to be burning its fuel a little less efficiently than some of the freight trains and coal trains.
There we go. All right.
So, I mean, you know, we couldn't have predicted that result. So that's why we do science. That's why we're out there trying to understand what's going on.
Dan, I appreciate you taking the time to join us for a few minutes here on KVI. Talk about it.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. That is Dan Jaffe from University of Washington, Bothell. And again, the coal train issue took a turn toward... at least rejection of the Cherry Point coal facility that they want to build. Now, keep in mind, what is intended here is a coal route via rail from Montana through Idaho, of course, and then eastern Washington. And then it would skirt down along the Columbia River on the rail lines there. And then there would be a facility in northern Oregon, and there would be another one in Longview down in southwest Washington. And then the trains would continue heading up north toward Bellingham. And there would be a facility in Bellingham that would, in part, large part, frankly, be available for coal to be exported. And environmentalists are trying to oppose the coal facility, or the facility that would largely handle coal in Bellingham, and they think that they can stop the whole thing. Well, they won't stop the whole thing. It would still have two other points for export. But the issue is jobs. The issue is, will those jobs be here in Washington State, or will they be down in Oregon, or will they, frankly, be in British Columbia? Because they can always export out of B.C. and, you know, send it over westward through Alberta.